It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Like, this is shaky now, and I'm kind of nervous.
All right, well, while Derek tries to get himself down.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
If he can get, there he goes. We're all right.
Sports Talk Saturday.
If I got injured on the air and everyone heard it, is that a good worst case?
Probably the easiest one. And I feel like it'd probably be the first time it ever happened here.
Hold it! We also heard it be my own fault, so.
Well, yeah.
So yeah, no, it actually wouldn't even be cut and dry at all.
It'd just be funny.
On WGR.
It'd be a great open.
Sports Radio 550.
You know, maybe, like, I take one of these rolling chairs and, like, just crash myself into the wall. Good morning, everyone. I'm sad.
I'd crash you into the wall if you want.
Please don't. It's a bit. But I am kind of sad. Because I can't wear that that ultimate drip known as my Purdue jersey anymore.
It's unfortunate the water's not boiling.
The only thing that's boiling is my rage.
Mm-hmm.
Because of March Madness.
Yeah.
And
this year more than others.
And Evan, you did a great job. You had to play that clip, though. Man.
Was that by design?
Yes. It wasn't. It was nothing against.
It was also the buzzer beater. Like,
it was a good call.
Yesterday's games, it was the best game.
I don't think you should look at it as.
It was the closest game, I should say. And that's the thing. Like, if my team is going to bow out in a tournament where no one lower than a 3 seed is making the Elite Eight, I guess I don't want to go out like a chump and it requires up until the very last second to lose. So, Purdue, great run this year. Love that. And hope you guys can actually string this sort of consistency together now, year in and year out. They made the championship last year. They lose. And then with no Zach Edey, they go right back to it and get themselves into the Sweet 16. And with less than a second left, a bid for the Elite Eight is gone, taken away. In the arms of the angels.
Yeah, you know, it's either that in the arms of the angels, or it's The Sound of Silence by, like, Disturbed. Like, it's one of the two. One of the two.
Either way, a part of me feels fairly defeated walking in this morning.
My brackets are blown up as well.
It's not about the bracket for me, man. I picked Purdue.
Yeah, but the invigorating energy is now gone. It's an afterthought.
Every
now.
Second of my passion about March Madness heading into the tournament is gone.
Yeah.
And it mostly has to do with the fact that it's 1-2, 1-2, 1-3, 1-2.
Little variation in
And the only other way that there would have been variation is if Purdue brought the noise and put a 4 seed into it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, all 4 1-seeds make it. Almost all of the 2 seeds make it. This is 2007.
Yeah, I was 5. I vaguely remember.
We're back to
the aging.
No, we're back to the wheelie chair into a wall idea this morning. Thanks.
I was 5. I apologize.
I was 5. Thanks, Joe.
I went from like in multiple brackets I'm in actually across different apps. I went from first in almost every single one of them because I had an electric start.
Yes.
To just dropping down some 5th, some 13th, most like 130th. So we really took a tumble once Michigan dumped out of there for me. Mm-hmm. That was my go all the way guy. But I still have the other teams are pretty okay. Like I had Purdue dropping, like things like that. So Michigan's the only one, but that's, again, the winner for me. So like that very much handicaps my bracket. So it's unfortunate, but that's the point of March we're in.
Yeah. But it's also like, I do think that I like more of the drama of March Madness. And then, you know, obviously at this point, this is where things will start to slow down for you as well. In terms of your upsets and your things like that.
Yeah. Is a 2-1 really
not that much of an upset at this point?
But like that's what I'm saying. Like, yes, technically they are the underdog, and yes, the betting odds will have them as an underdog. But is it really that much of an upset between those two teams? That's my question.
No,
because
it's not.
The way the seeding works,
a 4-1 or a 3-1 at this point would still not be a huge upset anymore. You're in that point where those seeds are predominant within where you're going to be, especially in this tournament. There were not a lot of those kinds of things. Texas Tech needing overtime to beat a 10 seed. That's where, like, if things went the other way, you got a 10 seed hanging out in the Elite Eight.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a different conversation now. But the other thing that Zach and I were lamenting yesterday was the lack of close, tight games in most of this tournament, and this round was no different. Purdue-Houston is one of those games that comes down to the last possession. Texas Tech and Arkansas, obviously, being the other, going to overtime.
Yeah.
And then the other one that was, I lost it. I closed it out. I shouldn't have closed it out. Give me a second.
You're good. I don't have it either. So,
but the thing
I
is
can't help you.
Of the games in the Sweet 16, only 3 of them came down to ending within 1 possession.
Right.
And it's like, come on. Got to have something a little bit here.
Yeah, it's not all that exciting.
Yeah, it's not as good as I was hyping it up to be when you and I, throughout the week on the nightcap, we were talking about, like, hey, March Madness is here. Let's have some fun.
Well, this entire March Madness.
It was Michigan State Ole Miss, by the way.
Okay. Yes, because Ole Miss did cover their spread. They were +3.5, and they got that buzzer beater.
The thing was is that they had a buzzer beater to pull within 3.
Yeah.
It was not to try to win a game or lose a game.
It was just to put a little splash at the end. That's all.
But it does end in 1 possession. So by that metric, it counts.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a little bit of an empty, and it was like empty calorie scoring to end it, except for like the bettors that had the 3.5 on them.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. So, you know, it is what it is. Am I still going to watch? Yeah.
It should be still good TV.
Should be good games, but I am saying this is the 2007 bracket all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we learning here? Do you know who won in 2007? You were 5.
I could not recall.
I can tell you right now.
That would be great.
It was Florida. You know who's back in the Elite Eight now with a bunch of 1s and 2s and that 1-3 seed there?
Florida. Is it going to be a full-on repeat is the question.
Don't let the Gators be good, apparently, is what needs to happen.
Yeah. That's when things just fall apart.
That's when things get boring in the tournament a little bit. Okay?
I do just have to say, in general, yes, we didn't get really the upset year where it's there's a lot of variation.
And 07, though, was different, a different beast of its own because like,
yeah.
no one lower than a 7 seed made the Sweet 16.
Right.
So, like, that year was bad. But even back then, ready? There was no NIL thing. There's no NIL talk about, like, oh, it's ruining basketball. No, it's not. If NIL is going to end up ruining college basketball, it has to be over time. 1 year does not prove that. And as a matter of fact, the tournament that I brought up for everyone, you were 5.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was a wee lad in kindergarten.
So wee lad in kindergarten. But the thing is that like 07, this sort of concept of NIL and transfer portal and how often it's used, those were figments of imagination and madness even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, that's the last time that the bracket fell this way into the Elite Eight. There are plenty of years where, like, it's typically seeded by ones and twos. But every now and then you get that, every year you typically get that team that goes, hey, what the hell's the 7 seed doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And that was missing this year. Here I am talking, lamenting a 4 seed not being able to make it, but it's personal. But I do think that overall the tournament did not have its drama and pizzazz that it usually does. And that was a lot of sentiment going in.
Yeah.
That like this might be dominated by the top teams. The top teams have been that good this year and that consistent. And that's kind of what happened.
Still, though, from
Houston,
a couple
the only
games,
one seed that had to sweat it out.
Yeah. Aside from a couple games that were just not great TV, this is still fun basketball to watch.
Yes, it's still good to
it's
watch.
It's exciting. It's messy. It, you know, like it's, you've got crazy.
There's actual
picks
defense
being
played.
We were watching the one night last week, and there was a pick that was laid out
that
looked like someone got clotheslined. Like it was
brutal.
Just, you know, like you think, oh, that's a nope, it's college basketball. There's, you know, yep. It's just a pick that was.
And then last week, McNeese was taking on Purdue, and I'm like, I got to keep my feelings and dial in for this last hour.
Yep.
But it's still a good product to watch because of the passion, because of the fact there's actual defense in it. Like in the era of the three ball, especially and particularly in the NBA, you do like to see some games that does have some defense, and you can appreciate it as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
But I unfortunately do have to say, overall, this tournament has been March Madness.
Yep, I would agree.
And that's okay. Mid is average then, right? It's middling.
Yeah, you've set the...
It's not March Sadness.
No.
But it's meh.
What would be March Sadness? That's the question. What would have had to
every
happen?
Every single
do it?
Lower seed loses their games
in the first round.
In the first round,
that would be
tragic.
Because everybody, yeah, everybody roots for the little guy.
Everyone roots for a little guy, and no, it would be pretty much like every blue blood wins, and like, and if there's a game that's not between two blue bloods, it's the higher seed wins. That's what it would have to be. It's dominated by all power conferences in the first round.
Yeah.
That's your sadness. I hope we never see it. Because that's what makes the tournament more unique, I think, than football. Like, obviously, the playoff expanding the way that it did, you're going to see teams that are making the college football playoff that typically wouldn't. However, at the end of the day, in college basketball, you are going to see teams every now and then that you do not know of that are going to make an appearance into the Elite Eight or into even the Final Four.
Yeah.
Like Loyola Chicago
mm-hmm.
from a couple years ago. Like,
yeah, who would have thought?
What is that
mm-hmm.
to most people? And
that's a joke on a bracket someone makes. And
exactly.
Like, oh, I'm going to change this game up just to see what happens.
I'm going to
bracket
Loyola,
number 4. Yeah,
I'm going to put Loyola Chicago in the Final Four. It's like, what? You're going to do what?
Yeah.
Are you okay? Do you need to go to the hospital? So every year there is something like that, but this year there wasn't. And that's okay. It's just, you know, I'm going to call it like I see it. which is, this is the 2007 bracket.
Ones, twos, and then and there's this random three seed. That's all it is. Everyone's showing up here. It's all the ones and twos, and then Texas Tech shows up, and everyone's like, wait, what are you doing here? We're St. John's. We beat the team that beat the team. We beat the team that beat St. John's. So we're here instead. We're three, though. You don't have to feel threatened. Oh, okay. That's all it is. That's all it is. But I will say thank goodness that there were at least a couple of closer games last night. And now there better be single-digit point games going forward.
Yeah, if they're the best of the best, they should be close. It should be.
If every one seed blows out the twos and the three, I'm probably going to complain again.
Might be holes through televisions across America if that happens. Minus in
no,
those.
It'll just be people going, okay, whatever. The one seeds are just going to dominate this year.
I know some people that the one seeds were all out. That's what I'm saying. Like they took the twos all the way.
But that's the thing. It's like, I don't know, man. Like, apparently Duke is that good.
Well,
and
Duke, I mean, Duke is the majority pick, I feel like, to win. Duke and Florida. Those are the two.
Which is weird, because Duke typically is a team that you don't trust.
No, no. But this season, they look like the real deal, I guess.
You could look like the real deal and still have one bad game in March.
Oh, right, right. I'm not discounting that, but
and
they're playing like they should be.
And
like,
typically, Duke does that.
Yeah. But this year they're playing up to the billing of the one. So
they typically do that though.
Yeah.
They'll have the seasons where they're like a one seed and they'll lose somewhere within like the Sweet 16 or the Elite 8. And well, here's your chance, I guess. But it's the times where they'll lose in 32 or they'll lose in the 16 and it's like, "Oh, all right, cool. Duke fans are going to light their bracket on fire." I don't really have much recollection on when they win, what seed they are. But it's also pretty tough to go start to finish looking like the real deal, staying like that as a one and going all the way through it.
Yeah.
It's not easy, but you figure it out. Yeah, it just, for me, like I still enjoyed it, and I'm going to keep watching. I'm just a little sad. There's no Cinderellas, because that's Zach is right when he says like eventually you want the Blue Bloods to show up at this time of year anyway. But you do want to see that Cinderella and see just how far can you get things going,
right?
How far can you get? And the best Cinderella that we got was Arkansas in overtime in the Sweet 16. That was the last glass shoe to fall off.
So, that's a shame. At least that game went to overtime.
And at least Arkansas was there in the fight and in overtime. If you're going to go out, don't go out like a chump. That's all you got to say. Purdue, not chumps. Ole Miss, not chumps. Arkansas, not chumps.
Mm-hmm.
BYU, chumps.
Yes. I had BYU drop in
Alabama
the first game.
Alabama put up over 100.
Talk about a team that's raining threes.
Yikes.
Alabama, oh my God.
I mean, it makes sense with a NATO school
mm-hmm.
because of how UB played. They were playing a lot of small ball tactic.
Yeah.
And that's going to require, you need range. And in Alabama, it does look like Oates is doing the same thing, except with the money and backing of an SEC school, a top-tier SEC school.
Yes.
Alabama was not a basketball school when he got there. As a matter of fact, the program was a little bit of a mess.
That's why they brought him in.
That's why they brought him in. But they also know that they have so much money thanks to the football team and their success
mm-hmm.
and prestige, and Nate Oates can turn around to recruits and say, hey, you know how those guys with the football team are so popular at the school? Let's keep the popularity going around all year, as a matter of fact. Make you guys a little bit of the star of the show. And it's working. He's taking Alabama and making them one of the most consistent teams every year. The Alabama's not a team that's bowing out early anymore. They used to be a team that just wouldn't show up.
Yeah, right. Right. They weren't built for it yet.
Not even that. They just were bad. And it's good to see Nate Oates continuing to thrive. We miss you. Come back.
Yeah, I guess that's a little bit of a local rooting interest, but I mean, the tournament does return to Buffalo
next year
to be played. You know, and it would be nice to have a local rooting interest, but I just don't know if we're there yet.
The games we will get are those madness games. You're going to get a crazy upset somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's too soon to say that NIL is the problem. Like NIL and the transfer portal are the problems. No, not yet. It needs to be sustained. It has to be like this for years in order for that to be a popular opinion or potentially correct opinion. It's got to last for a bit. You can't call it 1 year and say, oh, it's transfer portal and it's NIL and these kids are all just coddled. Nope, not yet. Wait a couple years.
Yeah, you got to get a little bit more of a sample
Wait a couple size. Years before you throw that nuclear take out there.
Yeah. Need more of a data pool than just 1 year.
These kids are so entitled with whatever they want to do. Nope, hang on. Slow down. Yeah, so I will say, though, it's definitely not the most exciting tournament for me, but I'm going to keep going. And yes, it does hurt that my champion is out now.
Yeah.
But anyone in my bracket pool that didn't pick a one seed, they're all in trouble now. Because nobody picked a two where I had mine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So it's either you have Duke or Florida, or you have nobody. That's how it went with my friends. And there's going to be a lot of people that are the same.
Yeah. Duke and Florida, the two favorites for pick-wise, I should say. I don't know if they're actually
It's a big whoop-de-doo Basil sort of energy.
Yep, exactly. Couldn't have put that to a better reference.
Yes. So for me, it's a little bit of March sadness. It's midness, and, you know, it is what it is. But we'll shuffle things out, shift gears, come back, and hey, you know what it might be time for?
Mock Draft Simulator.
Oh no.
Yeah, we're gonna hit up the simulator again. Educate people on what they need to see or who they want hanging around here. Joe and I will come up with the direction we want to take in the break here and hit up a little mock draft simulator coming up next here. Sports Talk Saturday, Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly. This is WGR.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Will pick him up. Williams corkscrews up, off, and down! It's a two-point lead. Final seconds. Wagner with it. Driving on Hawkins. Firing off. Texas Tech has won!
Kevin Harlan, man.
Oh, yeah. There's no other voice.
If you wanted someone to give play-by-play of, like, the biggest moment of your life... Kevin Harlan.
Yeah. I'd
love it. It's like your wedding day. She's got the dress. Yeah. She's up the aisle.
Right.
He's got the ring.
Well, what's crazy is, so like, say...
I would want Kevin Harlan to call the biggest highlights of my life.
Yeah. No, me too. But like, I listened to Kevin Harlan actually, you know, not this past season, but seasons past when I... So the antenna broke off my old car, my old Jeep, right? And I couldn't get AM or FM radio. So unfortunately, there's an issue with the app, right? So you can't hear the actual game. You can hear the coverage around the game, but not the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go to Westwood1.com, and you could just pick up the signal and play it through Bluetooth. So I listened to a lot of Kevin Harlan before... I worked here, per se.
Right.
So, yeah, his voice is definitely my favorite to listen to play-by-play-wise.
Yeah, like, I get that. Like,
doesn't he get the barn burner games on TV, too? Like, they're not the best?
Well, he gets good matchups. He doesn't get the best ones.
Right, Nance and Romo get the
Nance
best.
Nance and Romo are the one team for CBS, but Harlan's the two. So, they don't give him the garbage. Actually, it might be Ian Eagle now that I think about it, though. So Harlan doesn't always get the best matchups, but he's always the best sounding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Harlan's either their second or their third team guy for CBS. Because Ian Eagle is also there.
Yes.
And Ian Eagle is also very good.
They're all good. CBS has a good commentary team.
Yes.
Tony Romo sometimes, he gets a little insufferable, but better than Chris Collinsworth all the way on the other network.
So... We come back, though, and we have a job to do. We have to educate the people on players that are going to be available, players that we would like to see, and how do we do that? Gotta get that music.
Mock draft simulator.
Let's get a mock draft going here. We'll do another two rounds here because, again, the Bills having those 2 second round picks is very important with how things are going to go.
Yes.
I'm a cheap boy. I'm not paying for a month of PFF for 3 days.
No, there's no need to.
So I'll wait until, you know, Monday. So Tuesday. I'll wait till Tuesday.
What's Tuesday?
April.
Oh. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I am starting to notice something, though. A lot of big boards are putting Missouri wide receiver Luther Burden down their big boards now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting kind of curious about that.
Is he just not interviewing well? Or?
Last week, I called into question why the simulator was doing that.
Uh-huh.
But now I'm seeing it on other big boards. And it's a little confusing to me. Why am I bringing this up? Because he's here again available for the Bills at 30. Malachi Starks goes, by the way, the pick before... to Washington. And I'm thinking at that point, the Bills are probably going hell or high water. No, we got to trade up and get a player like that. Mostly because Kenneth Grant's gone. And he's gone early in this one.
Okay.
17.
Yikes. That's my pick at 30, by the way, if he's there. No question.
Yeah. But also, oh boy.
What happened?
You make one bad click. You got to reset everything.
Oh, no.
The Steelers taking Shedeur Sanders at 21 would be fascinating to me because that's also saying Aaron Rodgers, kick rocks.
Yeah.
You want to take your time? Fine. Fine. Be my guest.
He's going to sit in a cave for a little bit. You got to remember that.
So Malachi Starks, by the way, falling into anything in the mid-20s, the Bills got to go and get a player like that. Like, he is someone that should not fall that far. He shouldn't. And yeah, I know, safety is not typically a high-value position to go trade up for. But I'm still going to tell you, he's that good. Speaking of safeties, Nick Amonwori, a peak my guy, trademark.
Mm-hmm.
Other players available, though, would be someone like Derek Harmon on the defensive interior at D-tackle from Oregon. James Pierce Jr., edge rusher from Tennessee. Nick Scowerton from Texas A&M on the edge. There's some options. There are options here. A lot of guys that they could comfortably trade back as well and get themselves like a third-round pick again. I would hate all of that because I would have been sitting here until like 12:30 on draft night with Nate and Zach and being like, oh, they're trading out again.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Not great.
My life is hell. But if it happens, it happens. So what am I going to do? I'm going to stick to my principles here. Even though Luther Burden's available, I'm going to take Derek Harmon here out of Oregon.
Okay.
Harmon is a very good player. Amonwori goes to the Chiefs, by the way, immediately after.
So. That would incite,
Not really.
No?
Like,
you don't think so again?
I think...
Say, like, going into the draft, we're really pushing Amonwori. Everybody on the station is.
The thing is that people should have their own opinions. And if I'm pushing for Nick Amonwori, I don't need everyone to follow me. I'm not the expert here. I'm not. I'm just going with players that I like. And personally, I'd like Nick Amonwori. I think that he is a good player, and I think that is someone that the Bills should be looking at in the 30 range because that is something that they could value.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes down to it, I don't know if there's anything about this that I would hate here about Derek Harmon, 6'5", 310 pounds. Man's a big boy. He is seen as most effectively a three technique, though. So it might be a luxury good of sorts because you have Ed Oliver as well.
Right.
But Harmon does have the football IQ. He does have the quickness off the snap as well. So I would say if they end up with someone like Harmon, I'm okay with it, though. Mostly because you need more on your defensive line anyway. And then when we get to pick number 30 of round number 2, excuse me, pick 56 of round 2, sorry. I'm going to go ahead and just see, hey, I got a huge hole at cornerback, right? I think that someone from Notre Dame like Benjamin Morrison is a great idea here. Darian Porter out of Iowa State. Paul would be really happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of corners that you'd be able to take here and you have options. But also, this is the last, those two are the last bit of that second tier of corners that would be available for you. Would be players like Porter or Benjamin Morrison. I'm going with Morrison. I think that he's a very good player from an elite Notre Dame defense. And there could be questions about like, hey, is he the sum of the parts because of just how good that defense was? Or is it because of players like Morrison that are blue chip players that he'll be able to stand out on his own? Morrison's a good player, though.
Yeah.
And I'm putting away Nate's Notre Dame bias here just so that that can happen here.
Right.
But he's capable of, based on scouting reports, he's capable of fitting any system. He can play a lot of man coverage. You know what the Bills played a little bit more of?
Man, under Mr. Babich.
Yes, Bobby Babich called a lot more man coverage. I think that this would be a great fit for them to have someone like Benjamin Morrison there. He did miss a good part of the championship run. He had a hip injury, but it does not look like it's something that's going to be long term. 6'1", 190.
Right. Considering their man coverage guy is no longer on the team, and he was hot and cold because he was never warmed up really this past season. You kind of need a guy who can step in and do that. So I'm all in on a man coverage guy.
Some of the weaknesses in Morrison's game, for example, though, being he's not the quickest of getting off of blocks, but he is a willing run defender.
Right.
So good with the bad on that sort of thing.
Yeah, and you could probably coach the getting off of blocks. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like you could fine tune that where you want a good run defender because that's what the Bills I think explosive runs were a weakness for them last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at the Derrick Henry thing. Like, you could just go back to that play and be like, yeah, that would be nice, you know, to have an extra guy who can stop a run.
Last one I'm going to do here with the other pick of round two. We're going to go with edge rusher Jack Sawyer. Put the highlight on Ohio State's pass rusher Jack Sawyer here. 6'5", 265. He does get pretty good with quickness off the ball. He is able to use pass rush success with bull rushes as well. Hey, the Bills just got an Ohio State pass rusher. Why not go ahead with another?
Mm-hmm.
You just signed one. Draft one. But yeah, I think Jack Sawyer would be a good pick here for them. 6'5", 260 pounds. He's seen as typically looking like a day two prospect. They're also thinking probably more of a early day two prospect.
Right.
But, hey, take what you will as the board falls for you there.
Position by position, what did you just take? Defense, right?
Defensive tackle, corner, defensive end.
All D.
So, yeah, I'm not expecting to really be worried if there's no offense in my first 2 days of draft.
No, I'm not either. I know some. I've seen this floating around. I don't know if you have. Some people want a receiver in the first round and then to move on to defense from there. And I understand.
That is their right.
I understand. And believe me, you're free to have your own opinion. But I think the bigger need currently, because we can go back to all these years where they've dropped, and yes, Josh Allen had the football last season to end it, right? But defense has been a big point of emphasis in those games. 13 seconds, right? They couldn't. Neither defense was stopping anybody. They were gassed. You need to get deeper on defense. All last season, during the season, was those games we lost. Oh, that wasn't on Josh Allen, right? That was on the defense or whatever, right? Like, yeah. In the offense. So I think defense being the point of emphasis whenever a loss comes along is telling of what should happen. That's kind of where I'm at, you know?
Yeah, I think that is absolutely something that we need to look at.
You don't want to put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. You know what I'm saying?
The emphasis?
Yeah, emphasis on the wrong syllable, but I emphasize the wrong syllable.
I hate
emphasis
so much.
On the wrong syllable.
I hate everything that you just said. Yeah. For me, I'm also looking at players in the first round, trade targets to go up for Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M, 6'6", 290. He does have himself a lot of athletic ability. He does still need to work a little bit on technique, but that can be coached.
Yeah.
Technique is always something that you can coach. If there's something technically that you need to help shape with a player, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Can't coach talent.
Trading down, by the way, to get a... in like a third round pick or something like that, also seems like a really good idea because the cornerback class does, again, like I say, drop off considerably after like the first couple of players.
Yeah.
Nate is in on a player like Siobhan Revell. Revell is a player that is in that second tier.
Okay.
So is a player like I had mentioned with Morrison. Darian Porter from Iowa State. He's got length, man, 6'4". So you got a tall corner there. Revell, 6'3", 193, by the way, out of East Carolina. So these are names to start familiarizing yourself with because there's a couple of players that should go early. Hunter, Jadae Barron from Texas, Will Johnson from Michigan. But then after that, that's the second tier. You got Trey Amos from Ole Miss, Hairston from Kentucky, Morrison from Notre Dame, Revell from East Carolina, Darian Porter from Iowa State. Those are the guys in that second tier of corner that you could absolutely have within the second round. So it's tough to get a corner in the first round based on positional value and where it's going. But if you trade down into the second round, again, you have 3 second-round picks. First of all, holy nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a third then. You're probably looking at maximizing your capabilities at that point.
Yeah. And where do you stand,
considering where they're picking. If you're not trading up, I would love to trade down.
Yeah.
If you're not going to get a player like a Shamar Stewart or a Kenneth Grant.
Right, you're not going to make the jump for the guy.
Or Malachi Starks, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Even trying to get Will Johnson if he's in range. If you don't get aggressive to move up into the high 20s, probably, for a player, my guess is they're going to trade down because then you can actually maximize your value of what you can get. Because if you trade down out of the first round, you're probably going to get a third round pick in return. And if you're able to do that, that gives you four picks in the first three rounds instead of the three that you had. Because you move down your early second round, you have the other two second rounders, and then you have a third rounder. Again, which they love having a third rounder.
They do.
They also do a typically good job within the third round. It's one of their better rounds. If you look at Brandon Bean's draft history, the one that is more flawless in terms of getting pure production out of players is their fourth round. But they don't pick many times in there. It's kind of funny. Ray Davis is their low point, and that's only because he played 1 year.
Exactly.
Like, Gabe Davis didn't get a second contract, but he did give you production for a couple of years as a solid complementary wide receiver to your core as a wide receiver three.
Exactly.
And Taron Johnson has been on this team since the moment he's been drafted and still here. That's it. That's the list of fourth round picks they've had.
Not many.
Incredible hit rate. Do it more.
Yeah. If you're successful there, let's uptick the amount.
But typically, if you're moving and shaking around the board, the fourth round pick is one of the picks that has to go.
Yeah. Here's my question to you. With the current, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week, but with the James Cook stuff going on the way
yes.
it is, do they nab a running back here at all?
I would say it's a good idea. The question's when.
That's my question. Like, when would you foresee them possibly doing that?
I'm thinking round three is probably where you should do it.
Because honestly, the running back class this season, this draft year, sorry, very deep.
It does seem like it's a very good draft class. If I'm looking at someone, I'll tell you right now, probably a good player with both speed and size.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Giddens out of Kansas State.
Okay.
6'1", 212. He's got a good one-cut style, which works very well in the Bills system. Because zone defense, you want that one cut, you go.
Exactly.
You want a guy who's able to see the hole, hit the hole. And attack that way. Very aggressively.
Mm-hmm. Because I think we're going to get to the point where the $15 million is just too rich that James Cook
wants. The one thing that he's not a very physical runner for his size. He's 6'1", 212. But he doesn't have that like physicality.
He's not
going to
bulldoze through people.
He doesn't seem to bulldoze through people as well as he should based on his size.
Okay.
But that said, ready? I'm okay with that right now as a rotational player.
Yeah. You have Sweet Baby Ray who can do that and Ty Johnson.
Yeah.
So... the way they
Johnson's
also...
Johnson's more of a smaller guy, but if you're drafting a running back, by the way, someone's leaving the team.
Right.
So unless you're getting clear communication that James Cook is not going to play or
exactly.
he's going to hold out...
That's why I asked the question.
You need clear communication about that, and if they do it, that is more of an indicator.
Yes.
I don't expect it to happen. Mm-hmm. I expect Cook to play out his contract.
Oh, and he'll then, finish the contract. I think they draft running back next season.
Yes.
I think that's what happens.
And again, if there is a running back taken this year,
it's pretty telling.
A clear telling sign about something going on.
Yeah. The writing's on the wall at that point if they're yes. drafting a running back.
Exactly.
But I think they take it next year.
Or they're also willing to lose a guy like a Ty Johnson, for example. They'd be willing to part with that and then like replenish through free agency again.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Leonard Fournette's looking to make an NFL return. So,
why?
Do you see that?
Why?
I don't know. All right, after sitting last season out, he's ready to come back. I don't know how that's going to go, but good luck, Leonard.
Yeah.
He was a Buffalo Bill for a short stint.
But
maybe he will be again.
I'm going to tell you, there's a couple of those my guys, Shamar Stewart, Kenneth Grant, seems to be like everybody's guy at this point for the Bills.
I think that name has become universal
probably
in a lot of ways.
That.
Yeah,
Malachi Starks is probably unrealistic at this point, but Nick Emmanuel sure as hell is for me. And
Evan Worry, I would love. That would be a phenomenal pick if they did that. It's all about how the board falls. I mean, we could sit here and do as many mock drafts as we want.
Yeah,
we won't know what's going to happen until that night.
It's more about trying to get name familiarity out for people at this point
yes.
and looking at it that way. But I think Shamar Stewart would be great for this team. I also think Mykel Williams out of Georgia is another one of those pass rusher types that he'd be able to set the edge for you. Yeah, you got Joey Bosa. That's a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
Draft a guy anyway. Draft a good player.
Draft somebody so you don't have to re-sign a bigger name so that you can develop him and keep him on that rookie deal. Like, that's what you really want.
Or have to keep going over and over again to the one-year well or two-year well.
Right.
Darius Alexander, by the way, he's another guy that, you know, he's got some size to him. Harmon does have size to him as well. Grant is on another level of just how big that man is, 6'3", 339. But there are some, there's a lot of good players here this year. Day two, players like Alfred Collins out of Texas. And if I need to say it in front of Zach, hey, man, he'll probably look at me and go, no, that's a good player to have with the size that he does, 6'5", 320, for example.
Mm-hmm. What do you have to say?
That's a day two pick right there.
Yeah.
So. Come back. You know what we got to do.
Yep. Booty it's cheek, that time.
Booty Cheek of the Week coming up next.
It's the Booty Cheek of the Week.
I hate you so. I love that it catches me saying I hate you so much right at the end of that clip.
Yes. The button was taken away. I don't have it today.
Good.
I can't make any fart noises when we talk about you know who.
We will talk about the Buffalo Sabres. As
I know.
Fact.
Yeah, because we're going to lead right into the pregame show.
Yes, we are. But that's not what I need to talk about here today. We need to talk about the Booty Cheek of the Week. So let's have it.
Yeah?
Yeah, let's have it.
Let's have it.
Let's have it.
There's a war going on.
There's a war going on?
On careful, many fronts.
Careful about your next words.
LeBron James and Stephen A. Smith. The saga continues. We're on like episode 2 right now. Attack of the Clones. The not great one.
It has its moments.
Well, LeBron...
Every Star Wars movie has its moments.
It does have its moments. That's my take.
And you'll never take that away from me. Anyway, no. Carry on.
Slaughtering the people is pretty cool. Pat McAfee has somehow entered into this by having LeBron on his show on ESPN while all this is going on. And LeBron James, he's not my favorite athlete because I think he just brings a lot of whatever to the conversation. And
Nonsense?
Yeah, exactly. That's the good word for it. Nonsense. But clearly, after this beef is going on, you go onto the station that Stephen A. is a part of and do an interview when you are not one to do sit-down interviews on shows. Like, he's not that guy. He posted a video of Stephen A. Smith training boxing.
Oh, boy.
It is not pretty. And he put the meme attached to it. Womp, 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 womp. Right?
Oh, no.
So it's just called him out on social media. And we've gotten to the point now, and this is the point of the booty cheek.
Is Stephen A. trying to box for some reason?
No, probably just
a hobby workout.
Workout, okay. Yeah, you know.
All right, then it's pretty childish from LeBron.
Right, this whole situation's childish because it all started after a few weeks ago. Remember my booty cheek from a few weeks ago? The whole call out of Bronny James and saying you can't talk about my son that way. And then Stephen A. addressing that on the air. That's where this all started. This is now.
Yep.
This is now stemmed from that.
So the first part of this was the grill was opened up. And yep. Now this is the
patties
beef.
Are on.
The beef has hit the grill.
Exactly. And this is exactly why sports shows on television, the debate format, I have to have a take, also should not be personal.
Yeah.
Keep your personal life out of it.
Not to mention for the, and this is what I'm going to say against LeBron here. It's your son is a professional athlete.
Exactly.
It comes with the territory now.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
You were not free from criticism. He cannot be free from criticism. Nobody can be free from criticism. Not even us.
The ninth man on like the Minnesota Timberwolves can be subject to public criticism.
Exactly.
It is a fact that you, LeBron James, had a factor in LA drafting your son so that you could play with him.
I want to play with my son.
And
so it ruined the game, integrity of the game for me.
Not even that. It's not about the integrity. It is, yeah, you had a selfish desire. Guess what's going to happen?
You're going to get called out for it.
It's going to get called out because the attention was brought to it. And it's your fault, not his, not Stephen A's, because of the fact that he had to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to make it happen. And I get it. It is something personal because he wanted to do that before he retires. And the best way to have control for that was to make sure that LA actually drafted him. But when you do something like that,
yeah,
you bring attention to a player, in this case your son,
who is not asking for it.
And then Stephen A. went on to say that LeBron did not attend Kobe Bryant's funeral, even though he did.
So yeah, like, check your facts.
There was like personal weird digs thrown in there.
Check your facts if you're going to go at somebody, buddy.
Yeah. Just weird personal attacks. Yeah, like it was not great.
Oh,
so
that's weird.
That's my booty cheek, and it's a saga at this point because it just continues between these two.
For me, it's quick. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers as a whole. Why are you still waiting on if Aaron Rodgers wants to play for you or not? As a matter of fact, you're the last team that hasn't officially moved on. But if it goes another couple weeks and Aaron Rodgers is still not signed. We all know then that Pittsburgh did make their decision.
Yes.
They're saying we're drafting someone. And we don't care. Or we're going to run with Mason Rudolph this year. We're sick of this, Aaron. Just go be a full-time fixture on McAfee show at that point. Which, if that happens, good God. That's a train wreck waiting to happen.
Yeah. I'm sure ESPN would love that. Speaking of. Yes.
Speaking of train wrecks, we got to get the show back on track here. We're late to the break, so let's get that in here on WGR.